الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على نبيه المصطفى أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وما خلقت الجن والإنس إلا ليعبدون صدق الله المولانا العظيم. In this ayat kareema, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala expresses the explicit purpose and object of the creation of man. Allah ta'ala says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسِ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I have not created jinn and mankind, but for one specific reason, and that is that they make ibadat, they make my ibadat, the ibadat of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. That is the translation of the ayat, the tafsir of the ayat, which Ra'isul Mufassirin, the greatest of all the Mufassir, Hadrat Ibn Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, and the majority of the Mufassirin say, it actually means illa liya'rifun. I've not created jinn and man, but for one purpose only, that they must recognize me. That is why Allah Ta'ala has created the entire creation and the whole system of the world which is carrying on, which Allah has instituted, Allah had ordered, and Allah is maintaining it. So it, according to this ayat, it is just for this one purpose, and that is that mankind recognizes Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. A question arises here that when Allah ta'ala meant the ma'rifat of Allah, recognition of Allah, so why did not Allah ta'ala reveal the ayat in that way? وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسِ إِلَّا لِيَعْرِفُونَ. That I've not created jinn and man, but that they recognize me. That is the tafsir, that is the meaning of the ayat. But why did not Allah use that words? Why did Allah say, إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ? Ulama explained that ma'rifat without ibadat, that is batil, that is wrong. So Allah wanted the physical, what we know is ibadat, namaz, salat, fasting, saum, all the ibadat, hajj, zakat, all that ibadat, tilawat, zikr, that must also be there. Otherwise, we would have found, and we do find even now, many people who don't make ibadat, but they say we are on high stages of ma'rifat. We are on high stages. They are in fact those who are, they call as buzurgs, but who are even taking dacha, who are even taking drugs, and they say we're in a high, and we've got ma'rifat of Allah, but no ibadat. Whole night, qawwali will play. They will have qawwali, no fajr namaz. So to clarify that ma'rifat is not acceptable. That's why Allah put liya'budun, so that it is ma'rifat, but that ma'rifat must be what my ibadat also. From here also we understand, and we should also not fall in that trap that we feel that I got lot ma'rifat of Allah, and we start becoming weak in our ibadat. So it must be a balance between the two. Ibadat must also be there, and ma'rifat also. And if there's only ibadat without Allah's ma'rifat, it's a very dry ibadat. A person makes namaz, but he hasn't got the ma'rifat of Allah Ta'ala. And what ma'rifat entails, inshallah, we will discuss that just now. But without Allah's ma'rifat, he makes namaz, he won't get enjoyment. It will be like a burden on him. If the imam is taking a bit long, he'll be getting upset. Why is the imam taking so long? But if he has the ma'rifat of Allah, he will enjoy that ibadah. The same thing it is with his fasting. If there is an Allah's ma'rifat, fasting, keeping roza will be like a burden on a person. A person won't be happy keeping roza. Like by force he's keeping it, as a duty he's doing it. One is, you work in somebody's shop, you are earning a salary, it's your duty, but your heart is not fully in that job. And one is your own shop. You are running your shop. For you to give 5 hours extra doesn't matter. For you to get up middle of the night if the alarm goes off, it doesn't matter. But a worker, And you phone, you tell him the alarm is gone off, you must go check. He feels it a big burden to do that. So without ma'rifat, ibadat is not enjoyable. So the two have to go together. And when the two click together, then a person is already in Jannat in this world. So this is, in this ayat, the very purpose and object for which Allah has created us. And the department of ma'rifat, the place where we can get Allah's ma'rifat, is also a specific place. Like to get knowledge of deen, the basics will go to the makatib, the primary madrasas, the maktabs. And then to get the details of deen, we will go to Darul Uloom. And then even more, if a person wants, and he wants to specialize, he wants to have lot of knowledge of fiqh, he will go to Darul Ifta, he will become a mufti. If he wants to become a qari, he will go to the qari department, tirat department, all different departments. If a person wants to, in our time, since about 100 years or so, Allah has brought the work of tabligh and da'wah. So people who are far from deen, they go in jamaat, the deen comes in their lives. And then after that, they make effort on other people that their deen, and that is normally the outward deen. Namazes come in a person's life, his dressing is corrected, all that. But the inside, that is another department which Allah has kept and which is called the khanqa department. Tazkiyatun nafs and tarbiyat. That is that department. And there, it starts with tazkiyah and tarbiyat, purification and correction of life. And then it has to go on to the ma'rifat of Allah, recognition of Allah Ta'ala. So that is a special department. Then in the first command which Allah had given in the Quran, in this ayat which we were just discussing now, Allah has given the command and the reason for the purpose of our creation. Why we are, Allah has created us. And the very first command which Allah has given in the Quran Sharif is, Ya ayyuhan nas, Allah addresses the whole of mankind, not only the believers. Yeah, also Allah said, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسِ, all of jinn and all of human, I created them only for my ma'rifah and together with my ibadat. Yeah, Allah Ta'ala addresses the whole of mankind, Ya ayyuhan nas, O people at large, وَعُبُدُوا رَبَّكُمْ, make ibadat of your Rabb. And yeah, again, ibadat, again, the same ma'rifat of Allah Ta'ala. That you have to gain the ma'rifat of Allah Ta'ala. Together with that, the ibadat of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala also, which we know as ibadat. And then, together with that, a person with ibadat, abdiyat must come in him. Humility, humbleness. If he's making ibadat and pride is coming in him. The example of that is, he's driving a top car. He's driving the top of the range Mercedes-Benz, BMW. But he's driving it not to Jannat, he's driving it to Jahannam. He's making top ibadat, but pride is coming in him. I'm better than you, because I make tahajjud. I make 5 times namaz. I got a proper sunnat beard. I'm better than you. You are nothing. And this is not only by saying, hardly anyone will say it. Sometimes the mouse slips out. And a person also says that I'm better than you. But it is in his heart. He thinks like that. I'm better than you. And it shows itself out in various ways. So abdiyat must come into a person. Not pride must come into a person. And by ibadat, a person must become an abid of Allah. And he must become a slave of Allah Ta'ala. That is what ibadat is supposed to bring. As we progress with our ibadat, we become a complete slave of Allah Ta'ala. And to understand what is a slave, a beautiful example is that of Hazrat Hassan Basri Rahmatullah Ali, when he bought a slave, brought the slave home, and he asked, what will you eat? The slave said, I've got no choice. Whatever my master gives me to eat, I will eat. Where will you sleep? I got no choice. In detail, everything, what you will wear, etc. He set the slave free. And he told him, you have taught me how to be a slave of my to be a true slave. This slave is only as far as dunya is concerned. He's a human being. But he became a slave because of whatever reasons slavery came. And we are 100% slaves. And the master of that slave in this dunya is also temporary. He's not the real. He didn't create that slave. He doesn't control that slave. He doesn't control his thoughts, his heart. Allah is the absolute. And forever Allah is the master. And the complete master in every way. So when a slave has that how he must, his attitude must be to his master, then we as the real, real slaves, how much mustn't we have for our true master, for Allah Ta'ala. So ibadat must bring that slavery into it, that I'm a total slave of Allah. To such an extent that even from our minds, if this goes away, ifs and buts and whys and what, why this, why that, all this ifs and buts, totally, whatever Allah's hukam, yes, that we must find out. Is it really the command of Allah? When we are satisfied, this is the command of Allah, then our nafs must not hold back in any way. The nafs fights against the commands of Allah. But this is the training that we have to go, which is suluk, which is tarbiyat, which is islah, that afterwards we have no ifs and buts also. Totally we surrender to Allah Ta'ala and become the total slaves of Allah Ta'ala. Also this ibadat in Ya Yuhannasu Ubudu Rabbakum, it also entails one more thing, that make Allah's ibadat 24 hours. Now normally for us just to make our 5 times namaz is a big issue. Just to make little bit more tilawat, little bit more zikr is a big issue. But 24 hours to be in Allah's ibadat, and this is the beautiful deen of Islam, the balanced deen, where every person can be 24 hours in the ibadat of Allah Ta'ala. For example, a person all have to sleep. A person sleeps 8 hours, 7 hours, 9 hours, whatever time he sleeps. If your niyat is, this is the important thing, that it is Allah's command to sleep. وَجَعَلْنَا اللَّيْلَ سُبَاتًا وَجَعَلْنَا النَّوْمَ. Allah made the sleep a great blessing. Allah made the night a great blessing. And Allah made the system of a human that he has to sleep. So I'm fulfilling my Allah's command in sleeping, not just for my own desire. And I'm tired, I'm exhausted. When I sleep, I will get strength again. I will be revitalized again. I'll be able to make Allah's ibadat more again. So that whole sleep of 6 hours, 8 hours, and qailula sleep, that is such a mubarak sleep. Allahu Akbar, it's sunnat. And Hazrat Maulana Shah Ashraf Ali Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi says, a person who makes qailula in the afternoon with the niyat of sunnat, it is more better than 1,000 years of tahajjud with the niyat of nafil. Tahajjud namaz is a nafil namaz. So just that qailula, we make our qailula, our niyat, that so that whole 8 hours of yours has become ibadat. You are earning your living, you're a shopkeeper, you're a professional, whatever. 8 hours of your time goes in earning your livelihood more or less. Your niyat is that I mustn't be a beggar, I must earn, I must support myself, it's Allah's command. Support my family, and then more than that if I have, I will give charity also. I'll look after other, the widows, the orphans, people who are in need. And that business of yours, outwardly people will see this man is in business. But your niyat is correct, that 8 hours of yours is all in ibadat. Then that 16 hours, another few hours you spend with your family, eating, talking to them, that also is Allah's command. To look, to be good with the family, to be kind to them, to speak to them, etc. And in that also, to make that tarbiyat, which is very important, the wives also, the children also, and the wife must be also concerned of her husband's dini condition, so that another whatever time goes in there, that is also ibadat. And then what we actually do as ibadat is also, so 24 hours without, and even going to the toilet, I have to relieve myself. It is a system which Allah has made. That also you make that niyat, that I have to relieve myself, otherwise my health will be destroyed, my clothes will be messed, the whole place will become napak. I have to go to the toilet, and with all the sunnats in mind, and how many sunnats to go to the toilet, how many sunnats to come out, the muraqabah in the toilet. When you're in toilet, there is a muraqabah also. That I am such a useless and terrible person that the best food I ate, and when it came in my body, what I made out of it. The best juice and coal and the juice or whatever I drank, wonderful it was, but when it came in my body, I made urine out of it. So I am so bad, I am so useless. If a person makes his muraqabah in his toilet, then he will be cut down to size also. That is enough, and there is nobody who can escape going to the toilet. Which Hazrat Mufti Mahmood Sahib Rahmatullah Ali said, the toilet is such a jail for which you cannot give any bail. You can't say, I'm paying bail and I won't sit in the toilet. You have to go. You can be the greatest man in the world, even a Nabi and a Rasul of Allah. Or in dunya's terms, you can be the biggest king or whoever. But toilet, you'll have to go. You can't send somebody else. And you'll have to spend your time. You're a person that you make every moment of your time valuable. But toilet, you can say, no, I'm too busy. I can't go toilet. There is no choice. You'll have to go there. And you'll certainly have to sit like a fool there. A person just doing nothing there. So you'll just have to sit there. And for how long the toilet keeps you in the jail? Sometimes you can get finished in 2-3 minutes, 5 minutes. Sometimes you sit half an hour. And just not, you got no choice there. And you'll be kept in jail there. So, but if your niyat is right, that toilet going, wearing shoes, wearing clothes, will also bring you, will make your whole 24 hours into ibadat. How fortunate are not those people. And this is what is tasawwuf. Tasawwuf, you remain as a businessman. Doesn't you have to close your business? You're at ustad in a darulum, you don't have to give up your work. You remain as a ustad. You're doing tabligh and da'wat work, you don't have to give that work up. But just come and add this dimension into it. Now that your niyat for 24 hours, just a person who has been blessed with this, who got the tawfiq, and it doesn't come by saying it one time or by listening to it one time. It gradually, slowly this will come. And a person that this has come into him to make niyat for his 24 hours, and his 24 hours going to ibadat, then what a great achievement for that person. His whole life, every moment is in ibadat. And top ibadat, by especially the amal of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam of the 24 hours, the du'as of the various occasions, and a person will become one of the greatest awliya of his time, if he just corrects this. So this is, what is the purpose? Why we are gathered here, this islahi ijtima, it's not just to gather, and we meet, and we eat, and we talk, and we go home. But if one of these things can come into us, the purpose of our creation, Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala has declared, is this ibadat with the ma'rifat of Allah Ta'ala. And then the very first command before this, this is the first, second, third ruku of the Quran Sharif, the first ayat of the third ruku. And this is the first command which the Quran Sharif has given from Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen till yeah. This is the first command, and that is also the ibadat of Allah, together with all this explanation, the ma'rifat of Allah. Abdiyat comes into a person becomes a true slave of Allah Ta'ala, a person makes his 24 hours in the ibadat of Allah Ta'ala. And this all is really, you won't get this in a Darul Uloom. They don't teach this. You won't get it in a maktab. You won't get it in tabligh jamaat. The place Allah has made for it. There are departments for everything. If you want to become an engineer and you go to a medical college, they'll tell you, bhai, you have come to the wrong place. Here you don't become an engineer here in the medical college. So Allah has distributed the work of deen also. So this work of tazkiyah and islah and reforming the heart and turning the heart, Allah Ta'ala has made that year in this. In between, I just remember, where we are talking about Qailula, etc. Hajjaj ibn Yusuf was the notorious king. He asked a hakim that, tell me, how does a person preserve his health and promote, enhance his health. Health becomes better. He keeps his health good, healthy, and how must he enhance it? What should he do? He gave him such valuable, practical, simple tips, which all of us can practice, and they are very true, correct. Other Hakims have given other things also, but what he has given. He told him, never sleep between Fajr and Ishraq. During that time, never sleep. The second thing he told him, make sure you make Qailula. And Qailula is from 1 minute to 1 hour. Not less than a minute, not more than an hour. And then he told him, the third thing, that after meals, never have water to drink. And in fact, he told him, drink poison. It's more better than drinking water after meals. So how harmful that is. And the Hakims explained, half an hour before meals, during meals, after meals, don't have anything cold. If you want to have water, have it warm. And if you want to have warm water, you'll definitely not have water. Everyone wants it cold and extra cold, with more ice in it also. It must come out of the freezer, plus it must have ice in it also. And this is not the time for it, but very, very unhealthy. If you have something warm, hot, tea, especially green tea, etc., that is good. That is no problem. But cold things. And worse than water is juice. And worse than juice is cold drink. So they don't have that. And then he told him, after your supper, make sure you take your 40 steps. Which Hazrat Maulana Shah Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah Ali said, in our time, at least 100 steps. In other words, take a good few steps after your supper. And that explanation also is wonderful and great. That when you have, you did your day's shopping, normally it happens that you just bring it and put it at the door. But now it's in the way. People want to walk, etc. Now it must be put away, everything packed on its place. And the sooner it gets packed, the better. So food also when we eat, it's now in the stomach. But now it has to be packed away. The vitamins for the eyes must go there. The vitamins for the brain must go there. So by walking, you distribute it properly. And if you just don't walk, you just go and sleep after eating. So it's all in the way there. And it will cause you great harm. And the other great advice he gave, that never ever go to your bed to sleep until you don't go to the toilet first. Make sure you relieve yourself and then you go to bed and go and sleep. What beautiful advices he gave in order to preserve one's health and enhance one's health. Never sleep between Fajr and Ishraq. Make sure you make Qailula. Even if it is just sitting on the chair and just putting your head down for a little while. Just lying down a little bit. That is also sufficient. And don't have anything cold with your meals. Preferably not before, not after. And make sure you take some steps, at least 100, 120 steps before you go to bed. And before going to bed, make sure you go to toilet. Anyway, that was just something in between. So Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala has created us. The prime object is for the ma'rifat, the recognition of Allah Ta'ala. And each one of us should see how much we have gained Allah's ma'rifat. And Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala, who is the most merciful and hikmat, wisdom of Allah Ta'ala, and the kindness of Allah, we cannot imagine it. And then we can understand that the punishment which Allah will give to a person is 100% justified. That to gain Allah's ma'rifat, no stone was left unturned. Hey, Allah went into so much of detail for us to gain His ma'rifat. And from ma'rifat will come iman on Allah Ta'ala. And when iman, you believe in Allah, tawheed of Allah Ta'ala. All this is on the ma'rifat of Allah. And with ma'rifat, your quality of your namaz will improve tremendously. Your quality of your zikr, your tilawat, your roza, in fact, Allahu Akbar. Your quality of your eating your food, when you have ma'rifat of Allah, and you recognize, this is nothing from my side, Allah's fazl. And Allah gave it to me, Allahu Akbar. It is, so to say, in one sense, that our food that we eat, other ni'mats of Allah, Allah is paying us. But for what? What work did we do? What ibadat of Allah did we do? A person comes to you, he didn't work by you. He say, give me my check. Give me my bonus for the year. Give me your 2 years wages you didn't give me. I want my wages. We didn't, what work of Allah did we? We engaged in our own things. Our sleeping is not with the niyat to please Allah. Our business is not with the niyat to please Allah. Nothing. We're doing it for our nafs, for our desires. And but Allah has decreed that He will give the best wages. We don't work. And those of us who work, what's the quality of our namaz? What's the quality of our zikr? What's the quality of our ikhlas, our work of deen? And on the other hand, the food Allah gives us, nothing short in it. The best of food Allah Ta'ala gives us. We had the Mu'tamar here, and Sheikh Muhyiddin, who was the organizer of the convention, they are originally Syrians, and many people who came, Arabs, Syrians, so he brought 2 Syrian cooks also, to cook for them. His own brother said, I don't know what's wrong with this brother of mine. Why he brought the Syrian cooks? Once they ate our food, they didn't touch the Syrian food. They were just eating the South African food all the time. So Allah feeds in this way also. Wherever you go, Allah gives you the best to eat everywhere. And so this is the pay which Allah is giving for no work we did. And if we did a little work, that was also all upside down, useless work we did. But Allah gives us the best. The cars, He gives us the best to drive. We never think of it. Whether you're just going 100 meters, you sit in your car, think, what a ni'mat of Allah. What, how much of comfort and ease I'm going to reach my destination. It's raining, it's hot, whatever, but you're comfortable. The houses Allah gives us, our clothing, which ni'mat didn't, all the Allahu Akbar. Allah has made it such that imagine a Bedouin, an Arab, a Bedouin living in the deserts his whole life. His mode of transport, his camel. And if you look at the camel, what do you see? What beauty you see in the camel? What great thing you see in a camel? But in there also, Allah has kept His marifat to such an extent. Allah Ta'ala says, أَفَلَا يَنْظُرُونَ. Don't you see, if you want to see me, made my signboards, I've spread them out in the world. For a person in a desert on a hot day, there also he can see Allah clearly. فَلَا يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَى الْإِبِلِ كَيْفَ خُلِقَتْ. Don't you see how I've created the camel? The camel, for one, it's a whole reservoir of water it has got. The camel is your GPS from the days of before in the desert. A person doesn't know his direction. Camel takes him on his way. Camel, Allah has made a collapsible ladder, steps. There is the only animal that has got 2 knees in it. It's a high camel because in the desert, when the sand blows, the sand storms. And a mountain that was there today, tomorrow that mountain is here. You can't know directions. You got no landmarks in the desert. Those landmarks also change all the time. Camel knows the direction. So, but for the sand to go past it and it doesn't get caught up and it doesn't get bogged up with the sand, Allah made it a high animal. For you to climb up the high animal, you don't have to carry your steps with you. With its collapsible steps, 2 knees, it comes right down and you sit on top of it comfortably. What the things Allah has made. How long you going to look at the camel? Look at Allah's kindness. You're going to get tired. What are you going to look in the camel? What great you have seen so much. So Allah Ta'ala says, أَفَلَا يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَى الْإِبِلِ كَيْفَ خُلِقَتْ وَإِلَى السَّمَاءِ كَيْفَ رُفِعَتْ. Now look up also and see how we have picked up the skies and how we have kept them raised up standing and without no columns to support it. Ain't no chains holding up the sky. Look at the sky. How long are you going to look up? Your neck going to get sore. So, وَإِلَى الْأَرْضِ كَيْفَ سُطِحَتْ. And see how we have spread the earth. Look around you. And see the earth, how we have spread. And then that also, what you're going to look at the desert sand all the time, the earth. وَإِلَى الْجِبَالِ كَيْفَ نُصِبَتْ. Look at the mountains, how we have put them as pegs to hold the earth down. So if that person can see Allah Ta'ala, then if you are living in so much of sophistication and so much of dunya's things, how can't you see Allah Ta'ala? Allah made it even before that. وَفِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَفَلَا تُبْصِرُونَ. Why don't you look in yourself and you will see Allah Ta'ala. The greatest proof of the existence of Allah is nothing outside you, is nobody else, is you yourself. And the greatest proof of the great qudrat and the power of Allah is you yourself. And the greatest proof of the tawheed and oneness of Allah is nothing else but you yourself. Just look a little bit within yourself, how Allah made your eye. The eye, roughly one square centimeter the size of the eye. And the thing that looks in the eye is the pupil, right in the middle of the eye. There is whiteness around the eye, then there is a ring, and that ring, then we say somebody got blue eyes, somebody got green eyes, somebody got brown eyes. But that's that ring around the pupil. The thing that sees is the pupil. And Allah's qudrat, for seeing you need light. But the pupil, Allah made black. Allah made light in darkness. Allah made seeing in blackness. Everyone's eye, the pupil is black. Nobody's pupil is a different color. The pupil is black. In that, Allah put light. This is the qudrat of Allah, tabarak wa ta'ala. And with the small eye, and the thing that sees is the pupil. Perhaps 2 square millimeters. Something like that, more or less the size. But it can see the whole sun. The sun is how many? About 12.5 million times bigger than the earth. And what is your comparison with the whole earth? But with that pupil, you can see the whole sun. It captures the picture of the whole sun. With that same little pupil, you can see the whole mountain. Allahu Akbar. Huge mountain. But if one bit of the speck of sand of that mountain comes in your eye, you can't see anything. With that small pupil, your small eye, you can see the whole mountain. But one speck of that dust sand of that mountain comes in your eye, now you can't see anything. Your eyes are closed. You are just keeping your hand on your eyes all the time. Allahu Akbar. If a person has to consider how Allah Ta'ala has made, for example, all the joints in the body, 360 joints they are in the body. Yeah, out of the 360, just this one elbow joint, if we think. Eh? That when we're using it all the time. Now when I take the glass, you move it up, yeah, everywhere, you're using it all the time. For eating, we are using this elbow joint all the time. If there wasn't this joint, and our hands were straight, and all these joints are perfect, how many joints in the fingers here? No arthritis, no gout, no problem. You got your food in your fingers, but there's no, this joint is not here. You can try your whole life to bring your food to your mouth, or take your mouth to your food, you will never succeed. And Allah Ta'ala, with this one joint, and what we should have to do, everyone, we should have to feed one another. Because you can't bring it to your own mouth. You'll feed your wife and she'll feed you. You feed your friend and he feeds you. What should life be? This one joint, and this joint that is working all the time. Even when you're sleeping, you're moving your arms, some this arm, this side, that side. Never ever do we have to go for oiling and greasing of the joint here. Never ever do we have to change the ball bearings in the joint here. Whole life we use it. How many of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala's signs? There are any one thing that we don't perhaps think also at all, the brains which Allah has given us. And Allah didn't make one brain. Allah has made how many brains in the world? Little ants also got brains. Little birds have got brains. All animals have got brains. And the human brain which Allah has given, and those brains, what and what we haven't done in this world. But we forgot that Allah was the giver of the brains. We became astonished with all technology of today, state of the art technology, in whichever field we are impressed with all this. Who gave all this? Who gave those brains to make it? Who gave the raw materials to make it? Who is the one who makes it successful, or who makes it of everything? If a person just thinks of that. As I am talking now, for talking and choosing my words, sentences, my subject, without me knowing, the brain is working. What fantastical mathematical calculations the brain is working. According to linguistics, a child of 2 speaks about 200 letters, alphabets, in about a minute. It's just blabbering all the time. But the brain is formulating what must be said, etc. For you people to listen, we just take it, we are listening. But Allahu Akbar, Allah has made it the air waves which are bringing this the sound to you. They are air waves. All this what I'm speaking is going into the air waves. They are coming and hitting onto your ears. The ears Allah has made like a funnel. If you just think and you put your head this way, you'll see it's a perfect funnel. That like the big part of the funnel and then a small little pipe where things go. The ear Allah has, and 360 degrees sounds from all around. The ear catches all that there. And then it goes into that funnel. And then the whole system, the anvil, the bones which are there, how they are like in music they use this, and how it deciphers it. Then it sends a message to the brain. At what speed is it sensing? And it isn't the ear that is making out the meaning and the understanding and that. The brain does this. After the message went to the brain works it out. As you are sitting and you are listening, almost every person, the same thing can be said, but almost everyone takes a different interpretation. Maybe slight variations, more or less, but according to your brain, according to your capacity, everyone understands it. Sometimes people misunderstand totally. Sometimes people understand perfectly. Sometimes what you said and what was understood are two different, according to what the brain Allah Ta'ala has made. And the speed the brain works to give messages to every part of the body as it is at 200 kilometers per second. 200 kilometers per hour is what the speed. Aeroplanes, when they fly at the top speed, they're about 900 kilometers per hour, round, roughly there. This is 200 kilometers per second, the brain, and that is the time it's taking to give the message. And then to decipher, to calculate what must be said, and then the meaning to understand it, all this is working. وَفِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَفَلَا تُبْصِرُونَ Your heart, how it's functioning. Every part of the body, your hands, your legs. If you see all of us sitting here, and then after, when namaz will start, all stand up. Who's giving us the strength? Then one namaz is finished, all are going out. Somebody may be going toilet, somebody going for meal, somebody just work, somebody going to make a phone call. This whole system, what a beautiful dua in the Hadith Sharif to recognize this. Allahumma bihamdikan saraft. Oh Allah, I only can praise you for all this movement which I'm making. And 500 people, 1,000 people making movement, the whole world, 6-7 billion people. Whose qudrat is this? And under whose system is this? The marifat of Allah. Allah has made so manifest. And still if we don't see Allah, then you can understand why the severe punishment for such a person. When Allah made it so clear and so open everywhere. And then again, Allahu Akbar. Just see, a person who goes a little bit further, and he reads Quran Sharif Nazra, looking inside and reading little children, they complete the Quran Sharif. And the Quran Sharif has got over 6,000 ayats. And the meaning of ayat means a sign. Like you are going somewhere, somebody gives you directions, you must go. You go this way, you go that way. You see now, your driver, he hasn't understood. You write it for him also, perfectly down. And you give him distances, not to the meter, but to the centimeter, to the millimeter. That at so many millimeters you must turn here, you must turn. So detail you give him. No, he hasn't still understood. You tell him, okay, take a GPS with you. And you show him on your GPS, this is how you're going to go. This is. You show him landmarks also. And then you see he hasn't still understood. You give him a cell phone also. Be in contact all the time. And I'll tell you how to go. And still he gets lost. What will you say of such a person? 6,000 ayats of the Quran, which is within us, which is outside us all the time. And all this to gain the marifat of Allah. And we lived for 50, 60 years and we didn't find Allah. Right? And that child who read 6,000 ayats, and then many ayats, Allah says, it's not only ayat, the singular, إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ. In the air, what I have explained, Allah says, there are many, many signs. So 6,000 times, we don't know how much Allah has given signs in the Quran. Then the child becomes a hafiz. He has memorized all the signs. He knows the directions to Allah Ta'ala off by heart. And he's such a hafiz, he doesn't make a mistake. He can read from Qul A'udhu Bi Rabbin Nas, ayat by ayat, from the back to the front. So well he knows the Quran, but he doesn't find Allah Ta'ala. And if he becomes a mufassir, he studied tafsir, and now he's teaching tafsir, and he writes a tafsir also, but he hasn't found Allah Ta'ala. And all this is because we did not connect ourselves with those mashayikh, with those spiritual doctors who will do the operation of the cataract of the eyes of your heart. The minute that is open, even if you're not a mufassir, even if you didn't read Quran Nazra, but the eyes of your heart are open, you will see Allah in your little baby. You will see Allah in your plate of food. You will see Allah in your sleep when you're going to sleep. Who gives me this wonderful sleep? You'll see Allah everywhere. It will be impossible for you not to see Allah. Once this and that is what is called tasawwuf. That is what is called ihsan. أَن تَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ كَعَنَّكَ تَرَاهُ. And we should also always make dua that Allah blesses us with sifat-e ihsan. That we see Allah all the time. And a person whose outside life is like that, what will be his namaz? What will be his tahajjud? What will be his du'as? And this is where value is added to your ibadat. And great, great value is added to your ibadat. Like one, for example, a material example. You have a school teacher. Now, with standard 8, class 10, you won't be able to. You need a matric. You did your matric. You did your course at teacher's training college. You are teaching. Now you go and you do a BA degree. Your salary, you're still doing the same teaching. But now your salary is more because you got a degree. Now you do your MA. You are teaching history, you do your MA in history. Now you do your honors, your MA. Now you do your doctorate. Now your work becomes less. You become the head of the department. Now you're just sitting in your office and just doing a few things here and there, but your salary has gone way up. Wallah, a person who just makes ibadah, his salary is different. And a person who gets his, so to say, BA in ibadah, now he has got some marifat of Allah. Now his akhlaq is corrected, mu'amalat. Now he becomes an MA, get his honors, MA, and you get your doctorate. Outwardly your work will seem less in the eyes of the people, but your salary by Allah you cannot imagine. So this is what is this khanqa, and what is this tarbiyat and islah that has to be done so that we come to marifat. And when you gain this proper marifat, and with your ibadat, and there are those worshippers of Allah who have the marifat of Allah, their ibadat seems outwardly little, but the quality of it and the reward of it is tremendous. So inshallah, over these 2 days, this will be all discussed. Come with eagerness to learn. Come with an open mind to learn and to bring it into our lives, and not only to listen. There are 3 types of listeners. One is the munafiqeen, the hypocrites, sami'na wa asina. We hear, but we disobey. One is the sahaba, radiallahu ta'ala's quality, sami'na wa ata'na. We listen and we obey. And let us not also be sami'na only. We heard, well, it's finished. Neither do we say we disobey, neither do we say we obey. We just listen. We came to hear, we heard, finished. Now we're going, assalamu alaikum. Now, to bring it into our lives. And wallah, the minute that comes, each moment of your life is going to become so much more superior. The same outward ibadat you'll do, but the value of it, you cannot imagine how great. This is why we have gathered. May Allah grant us, bless us with its reality, inshallah. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.